What I want to say is, may God give us may we use creativity, the genius that God has given us to deal with our situation as creatively as this guy is doing. And secondly, may we have as much peace in our situation as this cow is showing. This morning, Genesis chapter 29. Genesis chapter 29, beginning at verse 1. Then Jacob continued on his journey and came to the land of the eastern peoples. Let's just pause there and look at that word continued. Continued literally means to lift up your feet. And we know from this that Jacob was walking. But secondly, continued, the word that's used here means that he had a dance in his step. It refers to not just lifting up the feet, but going with a light heart, being cheerful with renewed hope. And what is it that put that dance in Jacob's step? You're not here last week? Remember what happened? He saw God. As Don mentioned last week, this wasn't normal for Jacob to be out wandering. That wasn't his nature. And he must have been pretty scared when he got to his destination that long, long day from Beersheba up to Bethel. Now, he may have been as far as Jerusalem before. He may have had relatives up in that area. But I suspect that beyond Jerusalem, it was new territory for him. And he goes to sleep that night, and he has a dream. And we, God appeared to him in this dream. And there was a dream of a ladder. And above the ladder, he sees the Lord. And the Lord says, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham. Jacob talked with God. And the next day he says, oh, wow. I wasn't aware that God was in this place. That experience with God gave a dance, a new purpose and hope to his step. Remember Don said last week that good things are not natural. They are gifts of God. And this is a gift. I want us to see how it is a gift as we look at Genesis chapter 32 when we read that Jacob had another kind of fearful night, and because he's going to cross the brook the next day and meet his brother Esau in Genesis chapter 32. And then he is struggling with God. And in verse 26, God says, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. Give me a blessing. What was the blessing? He says, I saw the face of God. That's the blessing. It is a gift from God. And this today we want to look at the gifts of God in Genesis chapter 29. And the first one is his presence and his voice. All through Scripture, God is revealed as one who communicates. God said, God showed himself. God spoke to Job out of the whirlwind. But not only in the Old Testament, but when we get to the New Testament, we see that that characteristic of God continues. John chapter 1, verse 1, and the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Logos, the expression of God, was there from the beginning. God is one who communicates himself to us. John, in Acts, we read of Cornelius, and God speaks to Cornelius. It's an angel, actually, but Cornelius replies, Lord, to him. And then in preparing Peter, he talks to Peter. And he says to Peter the next day when Cornelius is about to arrive, he says, get up, Simon. Three men are looking for you. Get up and go downstairs. Wow. That's pretty direct, isn't it? And then this verse in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, showing the characteristic of God that is revealed throughout Scripture. He says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." Now, some take this to be a reference to God knocking at our heart to come in to save us. But it can also be taken as God wanting to come and communicate with those who are His, because he's saying this to the church at Laodicea. And that's the way I would take the verse. In any case, we see that there's a God who wants to communicate Himself with us. Now notice, very important, and this ridiculous idea that somehow God is there waiting for us, and we're going to come to God with our request and suddenly say, "Wake up, God, I have this I want to ask you about." No, God is the one that comes to us. He wants to have communication with us. And notice two things here. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. There is the communication, the fellowship, but there's also the food. Two things. Very different. A few months ago, I wrote a letter and then I gave it to Helen to have a look at and make sure it was okay. And she looked at it and says, "Yeah, I think it's pretty good." And then she went and decided to talk to God about it. And God said, "Don't send the letter." And then God said, "Look at this certain passage." And she looked at it and she saw the reason why we should not send that letter. But those are two different things. There is God's Word, the communication of who He is, the revelation of what He's done and who He is. And then there is the communication with God, and we need both. Now we can go to extremes. We can go to the one extreme and say, "Well, I have God. I have communication with God. I don't need the Bible." That's like saying, "I want to come and eat with you, but I don't want to eat the food. I want to come and just talk. I don't want to eat what you have. I don't want to share." We need to have both the Word of God and communication with God. What God says to us will never usurp how He has revealed His character in the Bible, in His Word. But we need to have that personal communication with Him. And while we're doing that, if we don't have a longing for His Word, then look at yourself and question. There's something wrong. There should be that desire to eat the food as well as to fellowship. On the other hand, we can go to the other extreme and say, "I have the Bible, the Word of God. I don't need to talk to God. Everything is here." And so Jehovah's Witness knocks on the door and you say, "I wonder if I should go and talk to them." And you say, "Oh yeah, I'm just reading Acts here and it says, get up and go downstairs. Oh yeah, well, that's the revelation that I should go and talk to them." What an awful misuse of Scripture. It is taking the Word of God and making it into a spiritual Ouija board. "Well, what do I need to do? Well, I'll find out. Hopefully it falls." Does that really strikes a chord in your heart and makes it sound awful? I hope it does, because we must not use God's Word like that. This is a revelation of who God is. It will not change. We need to have that, but we also need to have that personal communication. And as we read God's Word, if we are not wanting to have that communication with God, then we need to ask ourselves, what is wrong? It's like saying, "I'm going to go in and have breakfast with you, but I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to see you while I'm eating your food." Now, of course, there are times when God seems distant, aloof. Job went through that experience. He lost everything. And he said, "What's going on?" And he called out to God. And chapter after chapter, he's saying, "What's going on, Lord? What's going on?" And God was silent. I've had experiences like that. Have you? Months, weeks, when this Word is dry and stale, and yet I'll keep reading it to say, I know that there is communication with God beyond this. And we desire to talk with Him, and that's the way it should be. Notice, in Job's experience, in my experience, we may go through those times when God seems distant, But we know that there's something more. We want to have something more. The presence and voice of God. That's the first gift that he gives here. The second gift that we see that he gave to Jacob and he does give to us is his help, his involvement in the circumstances of his life. Now, when Jacob got there to that land in Haran, and what he had in mind, firmly embedded and had heard over and over again, was the story of how his grandfather sent a servant to get a wife for his father, Isaac. And all of the wonderful things that God did. Read that story. We don't have time to develop, but read that story and compare it. Because Jacob's situation is very different. Abraham's servant went with a whole lot of camels and with other men. Jacob, as far as we can see, was on his own. Abraham's servant arrived at a different time of the day. The well was different. Many differences. And what I appreciate about Jacob is that he did not say, you have to do exactly what you did for my father, grandfather's slave. He let God work out in that situation. Be careful that we don't say, oh, it has to be like somebody else has experienced, or it has to be like I've experienced before. Let God work in the situation. Let's just read about it this morning and leave it at that. There he saw a well in the open country with three flocks of sheep lying near it because the flocks were watered from that well. The stone over the mouth of the well was very large. When all the flocks were gathered there, the shepherds would roll the stone away from the well's mouth and water the sheep. Then they would return the stone to its place over the mouth of the well. Jacob asked the servants, the shepherds, my brothers, where are you from? We're from Haran, they replied. He said to them, do you know Laban, Nahor's grandson? Yes, we know him, they answered. Then Jacob asked them, is he well? Yes, he is, they said. And here comes his daughter Rachel with the sheep. Look, he said, the sun is still high. It is not time for the flocks to be gathered. Water the sheep and take them back to the pasture. We can't, they replied, until the flocks are gathered and the stone has been rolled away from the mouth of the well. Then we will water the sheep. While he was still talking to them, with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherd. When Jacob and Rachel saw Rachel, daughter of his uncle Laban, and Laban's sheep, he went over and rolled the stone away from the mouth of the well and watered his uncle's sheep. Then Jacob began to love Rachel that he was a relative of her father and a son of Rebekah. So she ran and told her father. As soon as Laban heard the news about Jacob, his sister's son, he hurried to meet him. He embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his home. And there Jacob told him all these things. Then Laban said to him, you are my own flesh and blood. God involved in our circumstances. The third gift that we want to look at is irrational circumstances. Things that just don't seem to make sense. Experiences and times. Now you say, that's a gift? Well, if you're thinking of a gift in terms of something that the receiver wants to get, maybe not. But this is something that God gave to Jacob. Let's read about it first and then talk about it. After Jacob had stayed with him for a whole month, Laban said to him, just because you're a relative of mine, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be. Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, I'll work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel. Laban said, it's better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel. But they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife. My time is completed. I want to make love to her. So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. But when evening came, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and Jacob made love to her. And Laban gave his servant Zilpha to his daughter as her attendant. And when morning came, there was Leah. Now, he goes on to have a discussion with Laban, and Laban explains why this happened. And we might say to ourselves, oh, I know why that happens, because Jacob just getting back what he deserved. But that's not how Jacob would look at it. Can you imagine what it was like for Jacob to wake up in the morning and there was Leah? What is going on? This doesn't make sense. We have experiences like that. And one of the ways that we deal with that, those kind of experiences, is to say, oh, let's just forget about them. Let's just pretend they never existed. Let's just get rid of them. You know, there are things in the Bible that I think don't really belong there. They don't seem to make sense. You know, this story is one. Let's just rip it out. You go on further on in Genesis and you read about Judah, one of Jacob's sons, who he got Tamar for him, for his wife. And then he died because he was evil, it says. And then Judah says to his another son, go and produce some children for your brother. And you read that story, and he's killed because he doesn't do what he's told. I don't like that story. I mean, that doesn't make sense. Let's rip that out. Over here in Hosea, go and marry a prostitute, he says. I don't like that. Acts, Ananias and Sapphira, they give the gift and they lie about it. I know it wasn't good, but I don't like that. Rip it up. Now, you're laughing, but I was hoping some of you would look shocked at ripping out the pages of the Bible. But that's what we do sometimes. And notice what can happen. Did you notice the progression? At first I said, that doesn't make sense. And then what did I say at the end? I don't like that. And we begin to ignore and tear things out of our life and just say, let's pretend that that never existed. We will move from saying, that doesn't make sense, to this, I don't like that, and I'm not going to deal with that. Let's just ignore it. That's one way to deal with our things that don't make sense. Tear them out. Get rid of them. Another way to deal with it is, that's ignore them. Another way to deal with it is to explain them away. And this happened, of course, with Job. Job and, if you remember the story, God and Satan had a discussion, and from that, Satan was allowed to attack Job. And everything was taken away from Job, and then Satan attacks him. And his friends come and they sit with him, and they begin to tell him and explain why he's going through this. As I already said, Job is crying out to God. And these three friends are saying, you know what? God punishes those who do wrong. You must have done wrong, and God is punishing you. The whole point was that he was going through that because he was righteous, not because he had done something wrong. And then when they finished talking, chapter after chapter, then Elihu comes on the scene. He says, I'm younger, and I was waiting for you to finish. And Elihu says to them, to Job, he says, God disciplines us when we're not going in the right direction. And what's happened to you is because God is disciplining you. Now, does God punish wickedness? Yes. Does God discipline us? Yes. But that wasn't the answer to why Job was experiencing this. And later God comes out of the whirlwind. Notice that God comes from the whirlwind and speaks to him. And he says this to Job in Job chapter 38. It says this, the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. And then in chapter 40 it says, the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind and said, brace yourself. And then he goes on to tell these three friends, he says, you asked Job to pray for you, and I will then maybe forgive you of this nonsense, this foolishness. We love to have everything explained away. But be careful of that. So how should we react when circumstances that don't make sense? I want to suggest that we focus on God in those situations. The Lord answered Job, spoke to Job out of the whirlwind, right in that situation that didn't make any sense to Job. God spoke out of that. God spoke out of the storm. And he revealed himself to Job. There was a time, one time in Papua New Guinea, we were there, and I didn't like what was happening to us. I really didn't like it. And I went outside the house one day to shake my fist at God and say, "Why, Lord? Why are you doing this?" And God said, "I love you." And put his arm around me. God never explained to Job, ever, why all this happened. He just revealed himself. And I found that in my experience, and I've talked to many people, and that's often the case. God reveals himself. Let us seek who God is in these circumstances that don't make a lot of sense. And fourthly, the fourth gift is the gift of family. So Jacob works for Rachel, whether it was a week when he got married or 7 years before he got married. It was probably he worked a week and married her, and then he worked for the 7 years. Anyway, let's just read a couple of verses regarding that. Jacob, so he gets Jacob, and it says in verse 30, Jacob made love to Rachel also, and his love for Rachel was greater than his love for Leah. And he worked for Laban another 7 years. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he enabled her to conceive. But Rachel remained childless. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, "It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now." She grudgingly acknowledges God in all of this. And then she goes on to give birth to Simeon, and then Levi, and then Judah. In the end of the chapter, we read, then she stopped having children. And so begins another Old Testament dysfunctional family. But notice what Jacob says about the family. Chapter 33, verse 5, when he meets Esau, and he goes ahead, and he puts his servants behind, and then his family behind them. And Esau comes to Jacob, and it said, we read, Esau looked up and saw the women and children, and he says, "Who are these," he asked, "with you?" And Jacob answered, "They are the children God has graciously given your servant." A family is a gift of God. Handle it with care. Coddle it. Work at it. It is a gift from God. These that you have given me. Now, there are times in the family where there is abuse, where there is evil, wickedness, and we need to remove ourselves from that. But just because it's difficult, just because we don't like what is happening, is no excuse for leaving the family and going your own way. Work at it in the difficulty. And there will be difficulties. That's our second point of the family. It's a gift from God, but disruptive forces will tear at it. What chance did this family have? Well, we have Jacob loving one of the wives more than the other. And those two women, mothers, at each other's throats. Leah with the weak eyes. She was not so weak, you know. She was pretty spicy and a strong person. And she's fighting for her rights. And Rachel, who was so beautiful and innocent. You know what she does? When they leave, she steals some of her father's gods, household gods. And then when Laban challenges her on it, she lies about it and deceives them. That's the kind of situation they are living in. Many times we read about Jacob tearing his clothes, and I can just picture him tearing his hair out too. in this family situation and things that happened. You remember when he saw the coat that they brought back, the brothers had brought back, and said, "Do you recognize this?" He says, "Yes, it's Joseph's." He must have been torn apart by wild animals. And then he started to mourn, and he said, "I will just go to the grave mourning. What is happening to this family and to my precious son?" And I love it. We read that all of his daughters, sons and daughters came to comfort him. The family. We need to work at it. Sometimes a disruptive force will come through sickness. One member of the family becomes sick. And not only does it change the dynamics in the family, and not only is it hard for the one who is seriously sick, but it affects those who are having to watch and to give care and help that person through that situation. Very challenging times for a family. Sometimes it's a result of a bad decision, an indiscretion. Something as silly as trying to break apart dogs that are fighting. You know, and these can bring changes into our family. There's an indiscretion, or one family member decides to veer off on his or her own and to go their way. And that forever changes the skyline of the family and what it is like for the rest of the time. These are very hard times. We need to work at it. It may be due to nothing of our own. It may be because of an accident that affects the family in significant ways. And maybe things that are totally surprising. The last couple or 3 years, Satan has actively tried to bring a wedge in and separate our family. To try to get one family member to distrust another family member. To try to bring separation. And because this came from the church, it's an understatement to say it was a surprise. It just still doesn't make sense. But you know what it's done? It's brought the family together, not separate us. We spent hours praying with one another, weeping, crying, agonizing, encouraging one another. And all this we have seen that God is there. Whatever comes, folks, it's not a surprise to God. Not a surprise. God has been dealing with these kind of situations for years. Look at the Old Testament. The horrendous things that we read there, and why are they there? I think they're there to encourage us, to remind us that God has been there before. I don't know what your situation is this morning. I suspect that many of us are going through challenges in our family, or have gone through, or will soon go through challenges. The family is a gift from God. God has shown us in this chapter that He wants to come and to be with us. He wants to go with us and show Himself in these situations that don't make sense. He is familiar with the problems that we face in our family situations, and He is there to help us. Let's pray for one another. Father, I want to thank You today that You are one who communicates with us. May we spend time listening to what you have to say to us this week. We thank you that you are involved in our circumstances, helping and working in those situations. We thank you that in those times that don't make sense and we seek for answers, the important thing is that you are there. And we do thank you that you are in our family situations, that you are walking and going with us as we walk out the doors today. And we go with a spring in our step. Not because the sun is shining, oh, that's nice, but not just because the sun is shining. Not because we've sung some songs this morning together. Not because we have had time. These are all great. But we go with a spring in our step because we have seen you. We know that you are with us and that you care about us. Thank you. Amen.